Hi, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, here with my co-host Manny for our June 2026 State of the Saga discussion.
So I'm Manny, and in these monthly update shows, we'll be talking about what we've been listening to, playing, reading, and or watching, and probably also just general stuff that's going on with our lives and maybe even recent pop culture happenings.
Before we get started, just a heads up that you can follow me and therefore all of the Geek Saga endeavors at A Geek Saga on Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube.
And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Manissimo Art.
Just a few house cleaning items before we dig in. First, thank you to any patrons who are joining us for the patron-only live stream version of this month's State of the Saga. Second, thank you also to any patrons watching the early release of the live stream recording. You guys are such a big part of helping us keep the lights on, so to speak, at Geek Saga Entertainment, and we truly, truly appreciate each and every one of you and the support you give. Finally, if you're watching or listening to this recording once it's gone public, keep in mind that we record these approximately 2 to 2.5 weeks prior to their public release. And also, pretty please make sure to hit those like and or subscribe buttons. And if you're catching it somewhere where you can give it a rating, it would really help us out if you could mark it 5 stars. Also, if you aren't already part of our Patreon family, please check out our sponsorship options. For just $5 a month, you can watch our State of the Saga episodes live and get access to our show notes, while for just $3 a month, you get early access to these episodes and all podcast episodes, among some other fun content. Check it out at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
With all that out of the way, we're going to get into our discussion. We're going to kick this month's episode off with news and or general gossip.
So I'll just start with my single, more brief newsy item. Supposedly, there is a new live-action Gem and the Holograms coming from Amazon. I'm not sure if it's going to be a series or a movie/movie series, but it is in development. The cartoon back in the 80s/early 90s was truly outrageous, but especially by today's standards. And the live action movie that came out in 2015 was kind of a travesty, but I was a big Gem fan when I was a kid. So I'm going to be excited about this unless I find out they're going some completely wrong direction with it, like they did with that 2015 movie. I would love it if they took some inspiration from the comic series that was coming out in the 20 teens, because those were great. But you know, I guess we'll see, because it's in development. Like, as far as I can tell, it's almost certainly going to happen, fingers crossed. But there's very little about it. Like I said, we don't even know if it's going to be a streaming series or like a movie. So
for my newsy update, Jen and I have been watching Stargate Atlantis in preparation of the new Stargate show that was supposed to be coming out. And they just canceled it. Oh. They just got rid of it. And their reasoning was just priceless. It just appealed too much to the older fans that it not appealed to a more wider general audience. So they were like, clearly it's not going to make us enough money. Was it Amazon that was making it? I can't remember who
was
making it.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Okay. Cause they're with the Gem one, they're actually partnering. It's Amazon MGM Studios. So
Okay. And that's what I thought, because when you had said Gem and the Holograms, which I was a big fan of also when I was a kid, I loved Gem, but the fact that it had Amazon attached to it, I was like, oh, I'm like, here we go, man. What else? When they made Fallout, which I haven't watched Fallout, but I heard everybody said it was really great and like good, I was in hopes of like, oh, okay, cool. So the studio is going to, or whatever they're doing, is going to start moving forward some great stuff. And now they did this shit with Stargate. And then after that Lord of the Rings thing that they did, which I totally hated, yeah, I was just like, so one of my favorite IPs that I'm pretty sure I've mentioned before in the past was Ghost in the Shell, right? That's one of my favorite anime, you know, IPs, comics, whatever you want to say, you know, like, I think it's great. Well, guess what? Now they're going to reboot it again. This, make no mistake, is the fifth time that they are rebooting the series back into like an anime form or whatever, which I looked at it. The artwork looks very original to the original comics that came out way back. I think it came out like in 89 originally or something. And it looks like it and all that kind of stuff. So it was really exciting to see and it was really cool. But there's a part of me of like, dude, just let it go. I feel like you guys are just rebooting it like too quickly now at this point, because it's like they make something and then it finishes its run. And then it's like, okay, I was very excited about that last last season that they did for the standalone complex. I didn't like that it was a computer animation, but the story was good enough that I really got over the computer animation pretty quickly on it. And since it still continued that standalone complex story arc, which is my favorite, I think that's the apex. I mean, the apex of Ghost in the Shell really is standalone complex, like the second season of it. That's the best Ghost in the Shell that you'll ever see. I know a lot of people like to always hark back to the 1995 movie, which was beautiful and still holds up today and looks way better than 99% of any animes that are released today. Okay, like it still holds its ground, and that thing was released in 95. However, the story in that movie isn't really Ghost in the Shell. On a philosophical level, it is, but it really didn't follow the comics very closely at all, aside from the characters and maybe a few scenes, but it wasn't like great, you know. And then they made a sequel to that movie, which I'm sorry, was complete fucking garbage. So, and then they did the live action movie, which I actually enjoyed for a few aspects to it. I know everyone else hated it, and you know, the Scarlett Johansson whitewashing thing, but
yeah,
it's like they're bringing it back from the dead again. It's like, look, dude, it's like there's only so many times you can get back together with an ex at this point. And it's like, I'm sure you're better now, and I'm sure you're cool, and you got your shit together now. But it's like, honestly, sometimes you just gotta let it go, man. And just make something new. Just make something new, dude. And I'm saying this about my
favorite. Yeah, we went off about that last month. Like, my God, it doesn't even have to be completely brand new. It can be based on an IP that already exists, like a book series or whatever. But my God.
Just something different, man. Just give us something just new, you know?
The amount of money that HBO must be spending on the series that shall not be named. It's only been 15 years since those movies ended. Come on. HBO, couldn't you spend that money on something else?
Exactly.
All right. Well, do we want to get into our big...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is going to be long, and it might start out with a lot of me talking, but obviously, as always, you want to interject just... We're going to talk about Bricks and Minifigs. The Bricks and Minifigs scandal, oh, what the fuck even? And yet again, I want to remind anybody listening to this as a podcast that we are recording this on Saturday, June 13th. As of this point, some of this, it has changed so much just in the past like 5 days or so since I've really gotten, like I'd heard about it before that, but I really got into it within the past like 5 or 6 days. And it has evolved so much just in that period of time. I can't imagine like what's going to happen later this month, which we'll get into a little bit in this discussion, I'm sure. I also want to preface this discussion with the fact that we are not lawyers. We are, I think at best, both like casual Lego fans. We own Legos. We like putting Legos together. We're not collectors by any means. Maybe something to keep in mind. But again, we are also not lawyers. So everything here is just like opinions based on definitely research and whatnot on my part and things that I know about the law from other situations, but I certainly do not purport to be any sort of legal aficionado. That said, honestly, this thing has become so big, it's hard to even know where to start or how to summarize it. But before we really kind of get into the nitty gritty of it, I do want to say that at this point, this Bricks and Minifigs scandal is about so much more than just like some missing Legos or missing money from the sale of those Legos. It started with a collector, then included a creator, a YouTube creator specifically. Eventually there was crowdfunding involved. Then it ballooned almost overnight into a situation involving lawsuits, public opinion, insanely questionable local police behavior. And I think at this point, the real questions are that in the end, who is actually going to profit from this, if anyone, and who is going to be harmed by it? Which very clearly, Bricks and Minifigs, their reputation is in the fucking toilet as it should be. But let's keep in mind by saying that Bricks and Minifigs corporate is one thing. Please do not hate on the franchisees. They are not involved in this. I hate the fact that, because I've heard, and I haven't really seen anything specific, right, in my area. I even looked up the local Bricks and Minifigs stores, the ones that are close by, and none of them have been review bombed or anything. But I've heard that that's happening, you know, so like, don't do that, because the franchisees are not responsible for corporate's behavior. So the briefest explanation of how this became a thing, this guy named Brian Mansell has a consignment agreement with a Bricks and Minifigs franchise store in Oregon. The franchisee, the owner of that specific store, tells corporate Bricks and Minifigs she wants out of her contract because she's probably moving out of the country. corporate comes in to essentially take over her store, kind of out of the blue. There's been some framing around like corporate saying we felt like there were bad business practices, the franchisee saying I didn't expect them to come in like this and do it this way, et cetera, et cetera. But either way, corporate comes in to take over her store. This is the Gormans, Crystal Gorman, I believe, and I'm blanking on what her partner's name is. But corporate comes in, Crystal Gorman tells them about the consignment with Brian Mansell. The guy from corporate who she's on the phone with, one of the guys who's taking over her franchise, is also standing right there. The guy from corporate who's on the phone says they will handle it. But then when Mansell hears about the situation from the Gormans and goes to the store or contacts them to try to get the remaining money he's owed and his remaining Legos back into his physical possession. And by the way, sorry, not sorry, I've recently learned that the plural of Lego is Lego, and I just don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Legos.
I'm sorry, Legos forever.
That's what I called it when I was a kid. That's what I'm calling it today. Yeah.
But Mansell tries to get his remaining money owed, his remaining Legos back into his possession. And Bricks and Minifix Corporate basically claims, we don't have anything to do with that. I'm not sure if Reckless Ben, the YouTuber who ended up taking this on, simply caught wind of this, or if Mansell was reaching out to social media people trying to get help. I'm guessing it was the latter. But either way, this YouTuber called Reckless Ben picked up this story. It went viral, and here we are. And Reckless Ben has, listen, his YouTube name says it all. He's done a lot of crazy things for views. He does this, is it called slacklining or something like that? You're on a bouncy cord over like,
oh Jesus,
a high place. I should have written it down. I did see some videos of him doing it, but he does things like that. He infiltrated Scientology at one point. So he's been known to do kind of crazy, silly things for views in the past. His YouTube username is very legitimate. But yeah, so he picked this up. It went viral. Here we are. So some things I want to highlight from the ridiculous number of hours of videos I've watched on this. And again, Manny, please feel free to chime in with thoughts or questions throughout. First things first, the fact that the Bricks and Minifigs executive product manager / director of operations straight up told both Brian Mansell and the Gormans, the franchise owners, who they took the franchise back from, similar versions of, if you sue us, it will cost you way more money than you have. And if you fight this, then you're putting yourself into a whole ton of shit, is like, you're already starting this off on a really bad foot. Really bad. I hate that idea of like a corporation threatening these small business owners and this guy who's just trying to earn money from his dad's Legos so that he can help pay for his father's medical care. And I think really his dad wanted most of the money to go into college funds for his grandchildren.
I don't even know if this is so much of like making money. I really feel like this is just straight up fucking stupidity is what it is. There's some people on this planet that are just nefariously fucking stupid. And I feel like with these people, after watching them, I was like, I don't know. I feel like you guys are not smart enough to actually fucking steal someone's Legos and make money off of it.
It's hard to say. And I think we'll touch on that in a little bit, because like I said, this thing kept evolving all week as I was watching it. So some of these notes I might end up striking, like I might start reading them and being like, oh, wait, no, I don't even think we need to talk about that anymore. But
yeah.
Now the Gormans are suing Bricks and Minifigs despite that obvious threat. So good for them, I guess. Yeah. Also, at the end of the video that the Gormans posted, because that was one of the very first things I watched. I actually think I watched their video before I watched the first like big Reckless Ben video. At the end of the video, the Gormans said something along the lines of like, oh, and the wildest thing is in the comments. And the comment in question was, the craziest new development. Someone reached out and told us, the Gormans, and this is an allegation, this is just an allegation which we can't verify, that Josh Johnson, the other guy who bought the store after it was taken from us, has been going around telling people we were selling heroin. This would fit a pattern when you watch Reckless Ben's video and see that he was also falsely accused of possessing heroin. And considering the way he was treated by the police, it's pretty scary. We'll get into that heroin thing and what happened with Reckless Ben on it in a little bit. But yeah, very, very interesting that now this guy from Bricks and Minifigs, who was involved with corporate too and was part of taking over this franchise in Oregon, is accusing multiple people of heroin selling, possession, whatever. Why heroin specifically? Like, if you're going to accuse people of crazy things, like maybe don't choose the same thing for two entirely different people.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
One of the things that Reckless Ben said in his video, and we kind of touched on this a minute ago, was that Bricks and Minifigs knows they can just bully anyone that tries to expose them with frivolous lawsuits. And unfortunately, that's kind of where this has led at this point. But honestly, I will say, having watched the nearly 1.5 hour first video that Reckless Ben posted, he didn't exactly help the situation. Yes, he claimed he wanted to. I do believe that he did and does want to help Brian Mansell, but Reckless Ben was pretty over the top and kind of acting like an idiot at times, seemingly more for YouTube clout than actually helping the collection owner. It's the things that he explains having done in the first video are super cringe at a lot of points, because it's so many people have said this wouldn't have gotten this far if any one of these people had talked to a lawyer first.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of sad considering where it is right at the moment. At one point in Reckless Ben's video, though, I just kind of had a whoa, what the fuck moment when the new franchise owner, I can't remember if it was, I think it was the Josh Johnson guy, it might have been Brandon or Brendan Best, demanded, we'll give Mansell back his Legos and or his money or from the sales or whatever if he apologizes to us and removes negative comments and reviews.
Yeah.
I went into immediate, it's a trap.
Yeah, that's what it was. Then they can take that to court to kind of you backing them up, because they're nah.
Look, he apologized and removed all of his negative stuff. Why? We didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, Bricks and Minifigs, they outright lied in their own lawsuit saying they didn't know about the consignment at all. When, again, as we mentioned earlier, as I mentioned earlier, there's someone from Bricks and Minifigs corporate on video talking about said consignment with Crystal Gorman. So just what, guys? And there have been interviews with Eamon. It might be Eamon, but Eamon. And the fact that his name is Eamon is okay, they're not our prince.
Exactly.
There have been interviews with him where he's that guy, he's just some lower level person at corporate. He wouldn't know what to say. Y'all aren't that big. You can't say that the brain isn't talking to the hand here in this case, if you ask me. But Reckless Ben going to the Bricks and Minifigs headquarters in Utah was one thing. Trying to go to the new franchise owners' houses. Come on, man. What did you expect to happen here?
Yeah, that was the thing. When he kept showing up over there, I'm like, you should probably have other people do that.
He did. I mean, he had some local Utah person that he had either just met or maybe somehow knew from online, who actually lives in that same town in American Fork. He had him go to one of the guys' houses and fake deliver a UPS package that was full of rubber ducks or something. There was a process server, an actual process server that Reckless Ben had apparently just met that day, that was supposed to be trying to serve Josh Johnson the small claims lawsuit paperwork or something. So he was involving other people, but the fact that he was always there too, and also on top of that, because he went to at least one of their houses, of course they're going to be on high alert and not want, they see a stranger approaching. I am anti these guys, I am anti Bricks and Minifigs, but at the same time, again, I go back to, my God, any of you could have talked to a lawyer or lawyers, and I know that lawyers are expensive, but where this is at right now, I so much of it, I think, could have been avoided. And I mean, the trouble that Reckless Ben especially might be in could have been avoided if he hadn't been so reckless. Let's be real.
That's part of that YouTube clout shit. It's face has got to be there and I got to do that. I'm like, I really think you could have probably got a little more progress if you weren't there. But then it comes to that thing. It's I'm glad you're taking the reins on it and giving it attention. I do appreciate that.
Right.
But if you really want to get justice for these people, don't be doing what you're doing, man. Again, you're just attracting too much attention to yourself.
The attracting too much attention, or attracting a lot of attention, obviously the point, but with the cops. Yeah, because granted, the stalking cops and apparent aggressive use of force and just wow. And this is where we get into, and I know we're kind of, I'm kind of pinging around here and very quickly summarizing a whole lot of things, but listen, there's hundreds of YouTube videos out there that go into this in so much detail. I just wanted to give our thoughts on it, but I also know some people might not know or have watched as much as I did, so I also feel I have to give some insight and details into what I've seen. But LOL, the Mormon angle,
dude.
I don't think anyone saw that coming in the beginning. Like,
no, I certainly didn't. And I was like, dude, look, I've seen weird sideways corruption in my life a lot. And then I saw this and I was like, guys, this is not good optics for you guys. This doesn't look good.
It's not good optics for them, but it's also dangerous for Reckless Ben and for Brian Mansell, because the Mormon church is a lot of fucking money. It's a lot of fucking money, and they will protect their own. Have you ever seen Under the Banner of Heaven? So if you've never seen Under the Banner of Heaven and you want to learn a bit more about Mormon corruption, it is based on a true story. And I'm guessing I don't know if Reckless Ben sure didn't. I don't know if Brian Mansell, he probably didn't. But corporate is in Utah. The corporate heads are all Mormon. Someone should have also watched Under the Banner of Heaven before they really started doing things if they knew that these people were Mormon. But I'm assuming they didn't, which I'm sorry for them for not knowing that, because So both of the new franchise guys who were supposed to take over that Salem, Oregon store are Mormon. The CEO of Bricks and Minifigs is Mormon. The cops who stalked / harassed / eventually arrested Reckless Ben are apparently, at least some, if not most or all of them, are Mormon. Yep. And while I'm not sure if the Airbnb host Reckless Ben and his buddies were renting from is Mormon, it was the Airbnb host's statement that he overheard his Airbnb renters talking about stolen Legos that they had that got the cops the search warrant that led to Reckless Ben's arrest, despite them not finding any Legos on the property. Shocker. And at least two of the cops that executed that warrant and arrested him were on their body cams admitting that they were buddies with the Airbnb host.
Yep.
This is one of those literally I can't even moments.
Yeah. So it's like just picture perfect corruption is what it was. And the fact that they kept trying to like find a reason to arrest this kid. Mm-hmm. And they just kept digging at straws. And I was like, guys, come on.
The 3-hour traffic stop and 2 hours searching his car because someone called in a tip that he had heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And they're questioning the other kid that was with him was the kid that lives in American Fork, who is he's not Mormon apparently, but he's a super straight laced kid. He's never even drank alcohol, let alone done any sort of drugs. And they're like shining the light in his eyes and they're like, your pupils, they're dilating. Do you see that? And I'm over here, my pupils are still two different sizes from having eye surgery earlier this year. But also, do you guys not know how eye dilation works?
Yeah.
If it's dark out when you're searching their car, which it is, you can shine a light in someone's face real quick and their eyes, they're going to still be dilated from the dark for a second there or two. Like, I just, what is even going on here? I mean, we know what's going on. It's like you said, like fucking police corruption. Little side note, the real star of that video where Reckless Ben and his buddies are swatted and arrested is the big fat cat lounging in the driveway. And then they're all sitting there like on the curb handcuffed, and the cat just like approaches Ben and is like rubbing all over him. And it's like, you guys clearly have the wrong person here. Look at the cat.
Yeah,
he's exactly. Like, my bad. The biggest update, I think, on the corrupt cops shit is that there was a town meeting. I mean, the biggest, most recent update anyway, is that there was a town meeting in American Fork a couple days ago, and several residents stood up and spoke up against what happened, and they were mad. One guy was going off about the civil lawsuits that this is probably going to bring on our town, and like our taxes are going to pay to defend these cops who did something like they shouldn't have done. Fucking snaps for those residents who, they don't know these people. These people are strangers. I guess those people don't do things differently in American Fork.
Yeah. Dude, because it's true. It just brings, that's going to bring in a lot of heat for them.
Oh, almost that entire police force should be put on.
Oh, yeah.
What is it called? Oh my gosh. Was it academic probation?
Academic probation. Mean. Yeah. Yes.
Put them all on academic probation for being
academic probation. Exactly.
But you know what I'm talking about. So yeah, the whole police force should be put on some sort of probation or on a probationary period, and probably almost certainly fired. At least the heads of that whole, all of that situation who allowed it to happen. That one guy who did like the police PR quote unquote video.
Yeah.
Like ASMR, the fucking ASMR. I don't know if you saw it, but it was the sheriff or something doing like this ASMR like story time of why they were right to arrest Reckless Ben, because his voice was, it was very, and we did this, and then we did this. It was the weirdest, creepiest, like, is this a pod person? Is this even a real human being? I will say, like, I highly suggest watching CoffeeZilla's YouTube video about where the missing Legos / money are, because the reality is that the original collection from Brian Mansell was almost certainly worth a lot less than the 200K number that keeps making the rounds. I think CoffeeZilla looked at photos, looked at spreadsheets, looked at sales, et cetera, and he estimated it to be more about like $107,000. So I do highly suggest watching that, because there are also a few new revelations in that about a possible U-Haul truck that might have picked up a whole bunch of Legos from the Salem, Oregon store and moved them to the Eugene, Oregon store, which Josh Johnson and Brandon Best already owned. But even CoffeeZilla is kind of like, honestly, that's neither here nor there at this point. The CoffeeZilla one is worth watching, and it's kind of the thing most people are talking about right now, because it really, it turns the table on the amount and quite a few other things, I think. I don't think the Gormans are guilty, the original franchise owners that had the consignment agreement with Mansell. I don't think they're necessarily guilty of anything other than like crappy bookkeeping on their part. Yeah. But their crappy bookkeeping also might have led to this being more ridiculous than it needed to be. Who knows? And I'm saying might, because again, I'm, you know, I'm not party to these people, this situation so much. I'm just watching a whole bunch of content on it, and I've seen a lot of different opinions. As of us recording this on June 13th, here are the latest updates. Josh Johnson and Brandon Best, the two guys who took over the Oregon store where the Legos were originally located, are no longer with Bricks and Minifigs corporate, supposedly, but apparently they still have some sort of connection to the company, despite Bricks and Minifigs trying to claim that they don't. Like, they might still own their franchise in Eugene or something like that, from what I'm hearing. Bricks and Minifigs has a temporary restraining order against Reckless Ben. They go to court for this later this month. I think it's June 22nd is the court date, unless that gets continued for some reason. It'll definitely happen before this comes out as a podcast. But this temporary restraining order is, it's very weird, because it actually prevents Ben from even mentioning the name of the company, which is like a pretty, that's like
that is
pretty
weird.
High level. It's a very big blanket TRO, you know, just to be clear. So yeah, again, court date is June 22nd. So there will be more info before this even comes out as a podcast. But for now, the remaining issues are that the Gormans, the franchise owners who originally took on the consignment, are still in a lawsuit with Bricks and Minifigs. Bricks and Minifigs is suing not just Reckless Ben, but also Brian Mansell, the original owner of the Star Wars Legos, for over $1 million in damages. And they're claiming it's a RICO case, which is racketeering. Yeah. This is a law that's like a mob related law. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like mob level shit. That said, apparently Bricks and Minifigs is now offering to pay out some amount of money to Mansell to like make good, and claiming that if he accepts it, they'll drop him from the lawsuit. Who knows if that'll happen? But take note that in that lawsuit, Bricks and Minifigs is trying to claim every penny made by the people they're suing from every part of this. Ad revenue from Reckless Ben's videos, all of the GoFundMe money that Reckless Ben raised, which is like over $400,000, any money made from merchandise sales connected to the case, Patreon subscriptions or donations, like true insanity, especially them trying to claim the GoFundMe money. Like, what?
Yeah.
I want to say, like, fine, whatever. They're just assholes covering all their bases in the most assholish way possible. But it feels worse than that when they're actually, they're going after the GoFundMe, like passively watching a video and someone earning ad revenue money from you is one thing. Patreon is another, because probably Ben got new patrons from this situation, but is that all of his Patreon money for however long he's been releasing Patreon content? Why should that apply to the patrons, you know, that he had prior to this situation? It shouldn't apply at all. And Patreon has already come out and said, because like they were asked to take down Reckless Ben's Patreon and they said, fuck you, essentially. They used the word fuck, but that's basically what they said. Good for them.
Yeah.
Snaps for Patreon there. But to try to, you know, people who were giving money to a GoFundMe in good faith to somebody who they're trying to help, a guy who's ill, elderly father, has medical bills and is wanting to leave a little something for his kids. Trying to go after that money is just pure evil. Just pure evil.
Yeah.
The TLDR is that the best case scenario is that this whole situation was, according to one video I watched, and this is a direct quote because I really don't think I could put it better, a company that answered a bookkeeping failure by trying to litigate its way out of a story it kept making bigger. You don't bring RICO to a bookkeeping dispute unless it was never about bookkeeping.
That is true. That is very true.
But any other thoughts from you on like...
So I watched a few videos and then I watched some like outside videos, you know, just people that are just talking about it just to kind of get an idea of it. And I think, yes, this is definitely just a bookkeeping thing kind of gone wrong is what it was. And I mean, they should have just fucking gave back the shit unless they just sold it and then just kept the money and it didn't have to turn into this. But then on top of it, dude, it's like, if you know the reasoning and why the guy was, look, even if there was no reasoning, if the person was just selling it just to fucking sell it, like how do you sleep at night stealing stuff like that? And then on top of it, it's like, oh, you're Mormon too, right? And if you were Christian or if you were Muslim or anything, you have a set of rules that apparently you follow for a sense of morality. If it was just some Joe Blow on the street and he's like, man, I'm a con man. Like, okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah, sure, you're a con man. This is what you do for a living, right? But with these Mormon people, I'm like, bro, don't you guys believe in God or whatever, you know, that it was a, you know, you don't do like, oh, but it's like, again, we're falling into this traditional concept of Christianity where it's like, oh, no. It's okay for us to do these things because you don't believe in what we believe in. So you're just not a person, right? Because we're the people and you are just a nobody. And I see that a lot with a lot of like religion things just around town, let's say, you know, like I see a lot of that. It's okay to do that to these people because they don't believe in God or they don't believe in, you know, whoever. And then to take that a step further, man, with these cops doing this shady ass shit, dude, protecting their own and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So you guys are just a clan now, I guess. This is what you guys do. You know, you're just some kind of clan cult. What is this, dude? You know, why don't you guys be Scientologists while you're at it too? You know, add that to your little mix too. I don't know, man. And the thing is again, is that when you see these people, these cops doing this stuff, there is so many ways that you could have actually have tried to pinch this kid if you wanted to. But the fact of your just inept stupidity of what you were doing to me, it's like, see, this goes back to my thing of nefariously stupid. And that's what those cops were too. You guys are just nefariously stupid. Oh, let's redact all the audio. Or again, if you're, I don't know, if you're committing shady crimes, maybe not talk to your friends while you have your camera on or whatever. Again, nefariously stupid. So now having...
And then try to redact the audio and then somehow the audio returned.
Exactly, dude. And when, look, and let's face facts, dude. If there's redactions in anything, unless it has to do with minors or protecting victims, redactions, it's just hiding the truth. That's all it is. It's just hiding the truth. So I've never trusted anything with redactions to begin with. If I'm reading a police report or some kind of report and if there's redactions in it that, again, is not protecting an underage, like a minor, or protecting a victim in it, dude, then to me, you're hiding shit. It's that simple.
Oh, yeah. They weren't the victim in these cases of the 3-hour long drug call car stop. I think they also might have redacted some of the audio from the time they stopped them for not stopping at a stop sign when the cops dashed cam footage showed them stop, and then they tried to say, oh, well, he didn't stop behind the line. I've seen several like legal videos like from actual lawyers who are like, that will almost never ever happen unless a cop already has suspicions that somebody is under the influence, like they've been driving erratically or whatever. Otherwise, it like almost something like that, like they stopped fully but they didn't stop behind the line. Like, that is not something you...
That's not, no.
And also, there were cars on the corner, too. So I guess the very technical sense, they should have stopped behind the line and then rolled forward to look. But, like, how many times in my life have I not stopped behind a fucking stop sign line? Almost always because I was trying to see around a corner. So I'm a little bit beyond the line. Like, now I have to worry about that. I guess I better never go to Utah, or at least not to American Fork.
Yeah, exactly. Not especially since we talked about it here. So I'm sure... They'll find us, you know.
I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, like I said, most certainly, like, unless there's some sort of continuation of the court case, they will have gone to court for the TRO. So things will probably have changed to some extent, whether it's them upholding the temporary restraining order, making it a full restraining order, or ruling that it was ridiculous. I mean, at the very least, it's ridiculous that Breckless Ben can't even mention the company name. This whole thing, and I went down an ADHD rabbit hole this week with it. When I say I watched a ridiculous number of hours, like I would put my guesstimate at like at least 15, if not 20 plus.
Wow.
Well, because I was also watching like some civil rights lawyers talking about the stuff with the cops and everything. I watched a live stream that some people did with another Bricks and Minifigs franchise owner who was screwed over by Bricks and Minifigs, like a similar-ish situation, and that his store wasn't performing as well as, I don't know, he wanted it to or they expected it to. So they sent people in to help and then then just took it over, but they also saddled him with the remaining lease after they either closed the store or took it over. Questionable practices all around by this company. Mm-hmm. There's also this whole thing where fucking Eamon is in a lawsuit or was in a lawsuit with his own father.
Yeah.
And that was part of like what created Bricks and Minifigs or something like that. There was a video I started watching and I could not, because it was like a 4-hour video of this girl just like reading this lawsuit. And I was like, I don't care. I know that Eamon, maybe it's not Eamon, maybe it's Eamon, but like people kept pronouncing it Eamon, so now I just like all I can think about him is fucking Eamon.
Yep.
Anyway, so I want this to come out in a way where Brian Mansell gets what he deserves monetarily at the very least, mm-hmm. if not getting any remaining physical Lego sets back. I think that those Legos are probably gone. Maybe the U-Haul thing was legit and they were taken to this other store and have been sold. Who knows? I hope he at least gets actual like decent compensation mm-hmm. for the items that he had under consignment that have disappeared or that he wasn't, you know, paid for already. As much as I didn't necessarily agree with all of Reckless Ben's like actions or the way he went about things, I do mm-hmm. hope that he comes out of this scot-free, because mm-hmm. acting a little bit like an idiot, he was never going to harm anybody. He's not putting himself out there on YouTube only to be like actually threatening to these people. I hope he comes out of this scot-free. And for Bricks and Minifigs corporate, I say fuck them. But I feel bad for the franchise owners, because that's the other thing. Yeah. They're mm-hmm. the people who are also going to really suffer from this.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of comments on these videos from people saying that franchise owners should band together in a lawsuit against corporate to try to basically get control of their own stores to the point where they don't have to be under Bricks and Minifigs corporate anymore.
For somebody like a company like that, why would you want this bad press? Y'all know you did wrong. And on top of it, the guy was doing this for his sick dad on top of it. Why do you want that kind of attention on you? It's going to look terrible. If you own a business, like, you know, you have to kind of watch your reputation also. And it's like, come on, dude, if this company's worth millions upon millions of dollars, like, dude, give them guy this money.
I think the problem is that they put their foot down so many times that they weren't in the wrong. I think it's a whole lot of fucking stubbornness.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that stubbornness on the part of a corporation that has a bunch of money, whether mm-hmm. it's within their corporation itself or from the Mormon church, who knows, like allegedly.
Yes.
You know, regardless of where the money is from, they have it and they just don't care. Again, like I go back to them not caring. It doesn't just hurt in this case, like Brian Mansell or the Gormans or mm-hmm. Reckless Ben to a point. It hurts their franchisees. You know, none of the franchisees have done anything wrong, or maybe not none of them, but certainly the majority of them almost certainly have nothing to do with this, had no mm-hmm. knowledge of what was happening until it blew up on the fucking internet. And it's like they shouldn't be dealing with this drama, and mm-hmm. they're going to be. And that's why I said, like, there've been a lot of comments of people saying like the franchisees should basically sue to get out mm-hmm. of their franchise agreements for free and just be able to keep their stores without any sort of, because mm-hmm. they're being harmed by corporate shitty ass maneuvers and decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate is, they've put out memos and stuff that have been leaked that are like, we care about all of you. And like, here's how to handle this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
But do you really care about them? Because if you really cared about them, you would have just, I don't know, paid out some of this money to this guy in the beginning and not like turned him away from your store and threatened him, saying like, oh yeah, sue us and we'll like drive you into the ground. Fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it makes it like this whole thing has made me so mad, and it makes me frustrated that in the end, there's enough questionable practices that happen on mm-hmm. both sides that it's like you have to kind of say it wasn't handled great by a lot of people, not just mm-hmm. by Bricks and Minifigs. But at the end of the day, Bricks and Minifigs is still the big villain here. They're still the big villain here. Reckless Ben might be a little bit of an idiot in the way he handled some things. He's not a villain. Mm-hmm. Brian Mansell, not a villain. The Gormans might not have had the greatest bookkeeping practices, and that might have added to some of this nonsense, but they're not mm-hmm. villains. Bricks and Minifigs is the bad guy, and they're just some men. They're literally standing in one with one foot in each hole, pouring cement into their own footholes.
Yep.
But we aren't gonna do anything about it.
Yep.
Do you have any other thoughts on that, on this nonsense, this bullshit?
No, but it's definitely something that I'm going to continue to follow because I really want to see how this one turns out. This is a story that I want to see the ending to.
I'm sure we'll have some things to talk about in our July State of the Saga for sure. Yeah,
we'll have to do a continuation with findings.
Yeah, I'm going to skip Reddit story for this month because we're already like close to an hour in. So I'll save the Reddit story that I had from this month for a later
month. I had a feeling that was going to happen because there was just a lot to talk about this.
Well, I was kind of like, maybe at first I was immediately like, oh, we're gonna have to skip the Reddit story. And then as things developed, I was like, maybe I'll find a Reddit story just in case. And then as we've been talking, I realized how long we've been on, and I was like, no Reddit story this month. Sorry for those of you who listen for the Reddit stories. I actually do know there's a couple people who love our Reddit stories, but we're gonna skip them for this month. Have you been watching anything this month?
This month, no, man. This month really has been just focused on stuff around the house, and I was getting ready for the vacation and stuff like that. School's out now, you know, so we haven't really sat down to watch anything. I mean, I sit down and watch some Grand Tour from time to time and some Top Gear, but nothing that is like,
I used to watch a bunch of Top Gear.
Do you know the Top Gear story? Are you talking about the British one or the American one?
British one.
Okay, yeah. So do you know the story behind that one?
No.
Okay, so Top Gear, you have the three dudes, you know, James May, Jeremy Clarkson, and Richard Hammond, right? So they do this series for like 20 years. One of the producers gets into a fight with Jeremy Clarkson, right? And they get into some kind of physical altercation and they fire him. So the other two, their contracts are up and they get mad that they're getting rid of Clarkson. So they're like, well, guess what? We're not going to renew our fucking contract then. Fuck you. So they left also. I think it was a year, maybe later, 2 years later, they made a new show called The Grand Tour on Amazon. And it's pretty much Top Gear, but just more crazy shenanigans and stuff. And it's a fantastic fucking show because it's them, you know, they're what made Top Gear. And the BBC was like, oh no, we'll just replace you. You guys don't matter, like da 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 and all this stuff. And they did. And those ratings completely fucking crashed and tanked, and the show is off the air. And The Grand Tour did great. It did fucking awesome. Everyone who's watching Top Gear went to Amazon to watch the fucking Grand Tour. It's one of my favorite fucking shows of all time. And I still watch it on fucking repeat sometimes. I've seen all the episodes like 3 or 4 times already at this point.
Well, for me, continued watching from last month. Things I finished, For All Mankind. I think this was one of, if not the weakest seasons of For All Mankind. There was a character death at the end that felt so unnecessary. And I know I was supposed to like feel something about it, but I didn't. And I'm not, there was another character death earlier in the season that was very emotional, but like the one at the end of the season was kind of like, I know I'm supposed to like feel this, but I just don't. It did have a very interesting aftershot at the very end of the season. And no matter what, I was going to look forward to the next season because I do love this show as a whole. Even this being one of, if not the weakest seasons, is still like one of the best seasons of television or of any streaming series in a long time. So yeah, I love the show as a whole. I'm really looking forward to the final season. Hopefully you don't have to wait a bajillion years, but you know, streaming. The Boys. I'm not going to spoil anything. Don't worry. Because you haven't finished it, right?
They already spoiled the ending. It literally took 10 minutes from that last episode to air to just find out. So I never went back to watch the season. I just watched highlights of the season, in particularly closer to the ending, because I was just curious what happened to everybody.
Well, it ended. From what I've seen, a lot of people hated how it ended. Personally, I wasn't shocked by what happened at the very end, but I also don't love that this whole season just felt like a setup for the Soldier Boy-centric spinoff that's supposedly happening. Was it called Hot Rise? They also like brought in Gen V characters, but then kind of brushed them off as well. And I was like, what is going on here? And then I found out, I think maybe it had happened well before I found out, but then I found out that Gen V was also canceled after 2 seasons. So I was like, oops, I didn't know that. So yeah, whatever, it ended. I was kind of like, okay. It felt very weird and rushed. There was one character, pretty major character death that made me like tear up a little bit, feel some things, but the very ending, just, I don't know. I'm not saying it was terrible or anything. It was whatever. To be fair, it had gotten hard to care about that show because it was like, Huey is like hope, hope, hope. I have hope. And let's just kill this person. I'm not even talking about all the like the good guys. I'm talking about like, let's just kill this person. Let's just kill this person. Well, now we're going to make this person like a magic able to take everybody's powers away. And then everything's going to be fine to me. I don't know. It was.
Yeah. I thought it was a little Deus Ex Machina there, right? Where it's like, yeah. Oh, here we go. Now this person all of a sudden has this that can do this thing.
Well, I mean, if you are already spoiled, it was Kimiko. And it was like, first of all, the whole season begins with her just suddenly being able to talk.
Yeah.
And listen, no, if this is what it was, good for her. But like, it almost felt like the actress was like, if you want me to continue this bullshit, you got to let me talk.
I got to talk. Exactly.
Good for her if that was the case. But it was also just really, I went and did some things and learned how to speak again. I don't know. It was just.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. The season felt very disjointed and I'm kind of like, okay, it's over. And Gen V is canceled, and now we're getting Vought Rising, which do we really need to see that? Apparently, it's going to be like grittier than The Boys, which.
How? How is that possible?
Well, I guess I don't know if I'd necessarily call The Boys gritty. It's gory.
It's gory.
My guess is they mean it's going to be like dark in the sense of if we're going back to when Soldier Boy and was in love with, I don't know. Will I watch it? Yes. Am I super excited about it? No. Do I think The Boys had some like, I don't think it'll go down in history as like one of the worst series endings of all time, but I don't think it was great either, especially considering how it started.
Yeah, I really feel like this is a show, because I didn't finish the last season, and I feel like this is a show with what they had to offer in the sense of intensity with a lot of stuff, that this is a show that went on a season or two too long is what it is. And that if they would have done it early, short and sweet, it's like Battlestar Galactica, right? That was good. It was four seasons or whatever and a few little movies and done. There was nowhere else to go. If it would have lasted five or six seasons, then it might have pushed it at that point to where you're just kind of like, all right, come on, get to the thing. Because it only took a few seasons to know like, okay, the final showdown is going to be Homelander versus Butcher. Okay, so we just have to wait for this to happen now. And then they start bringing in all these other characters and all this stuff, which I thought was actually really cool commentary. Whatever that chick was, the Nazi or whatever, and they bring her in, and then the way Homelander is being kind of worshipped like a Trump kind of figure. I thought that was cool commentary. I was like, yeah, people are that stupid that would follow something like fucking this Homelander asshole. And then they almost did a good thing. Like they almost did a good thing with Homelander where it's like they almost got you to like feel bad for him. Almost.
And
they
then the almost God did thing it. Happened.
And they really should have milked that. I feel like if they would have milked a season of a more conflicted Homelander, you know, and even if he still went bad and just, okay, I'm still going to be going to God mode or whatever, that would have been fine. I just thought it was something that was like a little more complex. And when it comes to final showdown, I think the showdown between Butcher and Soldier Boy, I think it was like the season before, two seasons earlier when they tried to take his powers. I thought that was a much more better showdown. This one was just like a little too okay, but it was satisfying to see some people die. The one that I wish they would have done something for was the Deep, because he definitely deserves to die, but it would have been nice to see him kind of revolt also against Homelander, since he was kind of Homelander's little bitch anyway.
Yeah.
And Homelander made him eat Timothy and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like there should have been something with that. And the fact that he just wouldn't let go made his death like, you know what, just go in the ocean and then Samuel Jackson is going to eat your ass. You know, like that's fine. Go do that. He fucking deserved it. But I genuinely kind of felt bad for the Deep throughout some of the series, obviously not the first episode, but there's some of the series where it's like, dude, this guy just never had a dad is what happened. He's got some kind of daddy issues. You know, he's always trying to impress and trying to like, look at me, dad, look at how great I am, you know, kind of thing. And I kind of felt bad. And I thought that that would have been a really cool kind of story arc for him. But again, maybe I'm asking for a little too much
depth,
nuance and nuance for a show like that, because I don't think that was the point of it. But I think that if they would have done the shit with Homelander, at least. Like when Homelander went to go visit the scientist that poked and prodded him, I liked that scene and I was kind of happy for Homelander. I'm like, yeah, fucking waste their asses. So I was hoping for a little more of some kind of redemption there. I mean, clearly there was never going to be a redemption for Homelander, but
well, you know, yeah, not redemption, but, maybe, but no. Like.
Maybe some kind of conflict.
Some sort of, a better arc, because it was like he kind of started having an arc and then he went into I'm God mode.
Yeah.
And it just kind of became silly.
It did. It became comic silly is what it was. And then it was like, okay, all right.
So Hacks, which is on HBO, this was a series finale. The season that I mentioned, I've been watching for sure last month. I can't remember. It was already airing when we talked in April, but for sure in May, I talked about it a little bit, but it was a series finale. Last season felt a bit like random and rushed at the very end, but I still loved it. I'm glad I watched the insider stuff from the last episode because they did some pseudo like shot for shot things from the first episode. And they use those basically like it was like a pseudo shot for shot because in the first episode, it's following Deborah Vance. So like in the first episode, it starts with them like following Deborah Vance with the camera. In the final episode, it starts with them following Ava, who is the other main character. Basically, they were pseudo shot for shot things. And I was reminded of the first episode by watching this and seeing how they recreated those scenes, but with Ava instead of Deborah. It did like really make the finale so much cooler in my mind. I really enjoyed the series Hacks. It is great. I highly suggest watching it because it is a really funny and also at times heartwarming show. Margo's Got Money Troubles, which I mentioned last month. This was a season finale. The second to last, I'm pretty sure it was the second to last episode of this season, was rough, mostly because it dealt more with Margo's father's drug addiction. So it made it really hard to watch. But the season ended on a high note. I loved it as a whole. I am buying the book as soon as I can or adding it to my audiobook library if it's on there, because there is a second season of the show and I have to see if the book covers what might happen next. Things I started watching. One of them I finished, The Burrows on Netflix. This is sort of like a Stranger Things vibe, but with older folks instead of kids. It's got Alfred Molina, Gina Davis, Alfre Woodard, Dennis O'Hare from True Blood and American Horror Story, Clark Peters, who is from, I know him most from Treme, which I love, and he was great in Treme. It's got Jenna Malone in it.
Nice. I like her.
But a lot of like big name older actors. It's an 8-episode thing. I don't know if they're gonna make a second season. I highly suggest watching it. Dean and I really enjoyed it. We were watching it and we were like, it's a little bit sci-fi, a little bit horror, and also kind of, we didn't expect it to be funny, but it was. It was funny a lot of times. So highly suggest watching that. We also started watching Dutton Ranch, which is a Yellowstone spinoff about Beth and Rip. We're only a few episodes in. It's enjoyable because we love Beth and Rip, especially Beth. I love me some Beth Dutton. But it's also really frustrating because, like, my God, can they just not catch one break? I mean, literally, like, I think we watched 3 episodes. It might have been 4, but I think it was 3. And it was like every single episode, something horrible is happening. And I'm like, come the fuck on. So we'll see how I feel about that in the end. I kind of want to convince Dean to bring our Beth and Rip costumes back to Dragon Con this year, just because the show is airing now. But Star City, which is a spinoff from For All Mankind, we watched 1 episode, maybe 2. I like it, but it's about the Russian side of the story. And in this universe, they're like still communist Russians. So it's like,
really, yeah,
at least the episodes, 1 or 2 episodes we watched, I think it was 2. We watched 2 episodes. It's dark. It's a little dark. Yeah. And I'm like, I think there's at least 2 more episodes out since we started watching it. But I'm kind of like, oh, it's a little dark. Like, maybe we'll wait till the season ends and like binge the rest of it. Oh, this is another one we did start and finish. I wasn't sure if we would finish. We literally finished it yesterday. Or no, maybe it was Thursday night. So when I was writing these notes, I wasn't sure if we'd finish it. But La Brea, I'm not sure where it originally aired. Maybe NBC. We watched it on Netflix. It is terrible. I mean, it is terrible, but in the most hilarious kind of way. Like, it feels like it was written by AI. That's how bad it is. But I checked, and so did Dean too. We both checked separately. Supposedly actual humans wrote this. And there have actually been Reddit posts and articles and stuff where they're like, no, this was actually written by humans, because people are questioning. whether yeah. it's written by humans. But if it was written by humans, that somehow makes it even more cringe.
Oh, God.
It got three seasons. I want to say the first season was like 8 or 10 episodes. The second was like 10 or 12. And the third season was a truncated season. It was only 6 episodes wrapping up the story, right? But seriously, almost every conversation in this show has some sort of trite cliche shit in it that is so trite and cliche that you're like, how did a human write this?
Yeah.
They put this into Gemini or Clark or ChatGPT and they were like, write me a scene where someone has a bad dad. Write me a scene where someone has a bad mom.
I saw a show like that one time and it was the same thing where it had been on for like 3 or 4 seasons or something already when I saw it. And it was on in the background and I just sat down and started watching it for some reason. There was nothing else to do. It was a sitcom, but it was the most generic writing I had ever seen in my life that I was like, dude, this has to be AI because this is terrible. I mean, it was so bad and I can't remember what the hell the name of the show was.
I mean, 5 or 6 years ago, I would have just thought this was a terribly written show.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess, okay, to be fair, the first season of this came out in 2021. So
yeah.
Okay. Probably the first season at least wasn't written by AI. Maybe the second season wasn't either.
Yeah.
But it is just so bad. I wouldn't suggest it unless you're a person like us who wants to just, because we started it just like, Netflix keeps suggesting this to us. Let's watch it. Right.
Yeah.
And within like a couple episodes, we were like, Jesus Christ, this is truly terrible. But it is hilariously terrible. Dean and I, we've had a lot of fun with it, honestly. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of fun discussing whether or not it's AI, but it can't be AI, probably. It is truly fucking terrible, but in that absolutely hilarious kind of way where Dean and I now have just personal jokes based on this series alone.
Yeah.
There was another series that actually has a third season coming out this summer, I think next month, called The Ark. It's like a, I think it's a sci-fi series. It's a science fiction series, but I think it's on sci-fi. That's also the same sort of level of like hilariously terrible, but this was even more so. The gist is that sinkhole opens near the La Brea Tar Pits in LA and swallows up all the people and they end up in 10,000 BC. That's the immediate premise that you find out in the first episode. So absolutely fucking terrible. If you want days worth of bad movie, sort of hilariously bad movie sort of watching, I do suggest it for that. Otherwise, it is fucking terrible. Don't watch it. Movies, Project Hail Mary. I finally saw it.
I heard it's like really good, man.
It is
really good.
It is fucking amazing. It is one of the best movies I've watched in a long time. Mm. And I had been wanting to read the book for a while, but it wasn't available as an audiobook. And not that I couldn't purchase the book, but I was like, this is something I feel like I want to listen to this on audiobook. I don't know why, but I do. And I'm glad I did. I'm really glad I did because there are things that they can do in the audiobook with like the language stuff that happens between the main character and the alien he meets, right? That I really, really enjoyed. So loved listening to it on audiobook. Weirdly enough, I caught it as it had like just become available. And then I got through my listening hours. So I had to wait a few days to pick it back up again until my listening hours renewed. And then and they were like, make sure you finish listening to this by June 20th because like it's gone after that. So it was only very briefly available as an audiobook on Spotify. But oh my God, the book is so fucking good. The movie is so fucking good. I think that they added some things in the movie that are really great. They left out some things from the book that I don't really think needed to be there anyway, like for a movie, right? Like they needed to be there in the book. They were great in the book, but for a movie, it would have just lengthened the movie and I don't think they really need to be there. I very, very, very fucking highly suggest Project Hail Mary. And I think like I wanted to talk about the audiobook in my reading section, but whatever, it's either or. So rather than bring it up again in my reading section, like I said, it definitely gives a good bit of info that wasn't in the movie. It was a little bit slow to start, but once Grace, the character from Earth, meets Rocky, the alien, I couldn't put it down, so to speak. As I said, they definitely left stuff out of the movie and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I think watching the movie while I was still reading the book gave like the whole experience like extra flavor. This was the first time I have happy cried listening to or reading a book in a long time, and also happy cried from the movie too. But and also the thing that I happy cried about from the audiobook, I'd already seen the movie when that happened, when I was listening to the book too, so like I already knew it was going to happen. Still I'm on my run listening to this audiobook and I'm like, I start laughing and tears are going down my face and I'm like, Jesus, no.
Yeah.
Don't wash off my sunscreen.
That's funny.
All right. Have you been reading anything? No. Never.
Never. Never.
Well, I've already talked about my one audiobook, so I can at least skip that. Physical books. Last month, I had just started Two Nights in Lisbon by Chris Pavone or Pavone. Mm-hmm. Really, really liked it. It's like a thriller mystery. Nothing happens the way you expect it to. I really liked it. Also, I think I mentioned last month, it makes me want to visit Portugal even more than I already did. So
yeah.
Then I read The Orchid Thief. Very, very interesting book, especially if you're from Florida, because it's like, it's about this guy who went into the, is it Fakahatchee? Do you know what I'm talking? It's one of the Everglades areas, but I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly is my point. He went to the Fakahatchee Strand and basically tried to steal a whole bunch of ghost orchids from that area. So it was this New York Times or New Yorker writer, Susan Orlean, who went down there to try to like figure out like what the situation was all about. And it's about orchids and it's about people who are obsessed with orchids, but it's also about Florida a lot, which and especially your area of Florida, like Miami homestead. So it was really interesting, especially having lived there. It was like, I lived like central Florida, but it was still neat to read some of the history and stuff about that area of Florida. Then I moved on to Angelica Frankenstein Makes Her Match by Sally Thorne. It's a romance novel. I picked both The Orchid Thief and this one up from the little free library in my new neighborhood. So these maybe weren't books I would have chosen to read like outside of that, but I enjoyed them. I don't know if I would call the Angelica Frankenstein one a romantic-y per se, but that's probably also like the closest genre. Regardless, it was cute. Then I read a book called Awake by Jen Hatmaker. Also got it from Little Free Library. It's a memoir by a former pastor's wife whose husband had an affair. There's a lot of hate for her online from she did a lot of harm being part of the evangelical community. She only supported things like BLM and LGBTQIA+ folks too late or when it affected her directly, because she had adopted two children from Africa. And also one of her daughters is a lesbian, I believe. And I apologize if I'm getting her sexual orientation wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's lesbian. But lots of people talking about like how privileged and uppity she sounds in this memoir. Like, I don't know. I don't deny the truth of many of those things, but as someone who was raised in evangelical church, even though I walked away from that life and those beliefs at a much younger age, I think some of the judgment on her is a bit too heavy. Maybe to be fair, I haven't done a ton of research into her background. So there might be some things I've missed from the early 2000s or whatever that make her seem much worse than she seems from the things that I read. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I think it was nice, even if you believe that she came to some realizations too late or only because they affected her or, and she is very privileged. And I'm not just saying like she's privileged because she's a white woman. She's got a lot of money. Like she was a best-selling Christian author. She's got two houses. She's got Ghana. What else? So I get it. I absolutely do. But I still enjoyed the book. And it's one of those like, oh, I kind of want to give this to some family members of mine for reasons. And then I finally started reading Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. I want to say finally, like, I know I'm late. I'm late to the party, pun intended. But I'm about like 150 pages in. I read a whole bunch of it with last night alone. I like could not put it down when I was trying. I should have been going to sleep and I could not put it down. Yeah. But I love that it starts with him and his ex-girlfriend's cat, who is a fluffy tortoiseshell Persian. And like, I know my cat Pigeon isn't a Persian with the smush face, but she is a fluffy tortie. So like, I love that similarity. What have you been playing?
Still playing some Pragmata. I haven't really gotten too far in it. I've just been kind of like going for the 100% completion. So I've just been like looking for things.
Oh, wow. Hardcore.
Finding any toys that Diana might like, because it's always adorable when you bring something home to her and like she gets really excited and she's like a little kid, you know? So it's like super fucking cool, man. But that's honestly, that's the only thing I've been, it's the only thing I've been playing.
We waxed on about that quite a bit last month. So if you're for some reason listening to this and haven't listened to our May State of the Saga, definitely listen to that for extensive Manny thoughts on Pragmata.
Yeah, I had a lot of thoughts on that one
Yeah.
because I like got the game and then played it and then started hearing about all this controversy and I'm just like, okay, what are you guys talking? Like, are we playing the same game? Like, I don't understand what's happening
Yeah.
here.
I've been playing nothing. So
Yeah.
again, yet again. Listening. Have you been listening to anything
Dude,
interesting?
I've been really hitting the old jazz is what I've been doing. Just random playlists. I couldn't even tell you an artist. So many artists on there, but it's just something that I just do, you know? Like I just
Yeah.
get to the zone. Like I listen to I'm very eclectic when it comes to the amount of music that I listen to and what kinds of music I listen to. But every now and then I just hit this zone where I'm like, this is what I'm gonna listen to the entire month. That's what I do. And also it works really well for depression, right? Because if you're like depressed, then it's like this is great because it's like one of those noir movies, you know what I'm saying? Like just the guy sitting outside in the rain and blah 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 blah. And I don't mean that like crazy. I just mean I've had some hard days, you know, with work and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So like, because the rest of my life is actually fine. It's just mostly work related stuff. I don't know, man. It kind of builds the vibe. I like it. It makes me feel like I'm a detective.
I've still just been listening to like Reddit story videos for short form stuff. Obviously, tons of the Bricks and Minifigs, Reckless Ben stuff that we've already talked about. I did pick back up listening to. Again, I don't know if it's Madeline or Madeline, her songs over and over again on Spotify, but
Nice,
I
nice.
really highly suggest her. Madeline. Really suggest her stuff. It's great. It's great pop music. It really is. I'm shocked that she's not bigger than she is. And I'm hoping that something hits real hard and she becomes like it explodes because I love her music. It's very, even the stuff that isn't fun is somehow fun, if that makes sense. All right. So conclusion, upcoming events or things we're excited about. What about you?
I think we're gonna go tubing at some point in Helen next month, I think. And then we are, what else are we doing? I don't know, man. I think we're just relaxing this month. I
Yeah.
think we've done so much in the past 3 or 4 months that I think we're both looking for just like, you know what? I just want to sit on the couch just for a few days.
Minus our every Monday evening recordings.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Exactly.
Well, for me, housewarming party soon.
Yes,
That will have
exactly.
happened by the time this goes public. But yeah, Dean and I are having a housewarming party. That's kind of it for like events happening very soon. My next adventure sort of thing won't be until like mid-July-ish, which it's just a little convention in Greenville, so not. But I'm excited because like a bunch of the Red Dead actors are going to be there, so I get to see all of them again. But yeah, also like I said, hey, I guess House of the Dragon and our Hot D Takes episodes.
I know.
I'm both excited and not about that because oh my God, the editing time for like 8 weeks straight. But I'm excited about the show. So
Me too. Me too. I'm hoping it's gonna be better than
yeah,
not that
I
last
think
season was
so.
bad. It was just not expected is what it was.
All right. Well, as we close out the episode, we once again want to give a huge thanks to our patrons for their support. Make sure to check out our other Geek Saga Show series, including Media That Made Us, 90s and Noughties Cringe Factor, the Impulsive Hyper Focus solo episodes that I do, and more. And please do not forget to like, subscribe, or rate us 5 stars wherever you're watching or listening. And as always, please also consider supporting us by backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.